Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, the aviation sector, like many others, has been hit hard this year by the COVID-19 pandemic, and the International Air Transport Association, or IATA, announced a revised outlook for the airline industry performance for 2020 and 2021. Deep industry losses are expected to continue into 2021, and to find out more, we're joined today by Conrad Clifford, and he's IATA's Regional Vice President for Asia-Pacific. Conrad, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Rachel. Nice to be here.
So first tell us, you know, COVID-19 has really decimated air connectivity. What's IATA's outlook for the year ahead?
The outlook for this year is very grim. We're looking at $118 billion of loss. Mm. It's the worst year in aviation history for losses. But the good news is that we do expect to see next year starting to pick up. We are very heartened by the news of vaccines. We're also very encouraged that there's a moves afoot to introduce testing to try and get aviation, international aviation, restarted. So next year, we expect the losses to reduce considerably, down to about $32 billion globally.
Right. Okay.
And then we expect that domestically, things should be back to 2019 levels by 2022, and internationally by 2024, 2025, something like that.
So that's quite a significant difference in terms of the numbers. Where are we likely to see the biggest pickup next year? Cargo?
Cargo, certainly. But I think the biggest part will be domestic markets. Mm-hmm. So we've seen this year that China has already got back to sort of 2019 levels, which is very good. New Zealand is on the way towards that. India even is back up at 70% of last year's levels. So I think domestic markets first, and then international, as international markets open up and borders reopen. Cargo has been a bit of a bright spot throughout this, partly because there's so much online purchasing, and air freight is a big part of the supply chain for online purchasing. But also because there's been so little belly capacity on passenger planes that the yields have gone up. So cargo also will continue through next year as well. Those are two sort of bright spots.
Earlier this week, I spoke to somebody from IDC, and they've developed a blueprint for vaccine distribution. And they were sharing that something like 16,000 flights will be needed to transport 8 billion vials globally. What kind of role does vaccine distribution play in aviation numbers, or the numbers that you're looking at for your outlook in the year ahead?
It plays a very big role. And we made a calculation that if we are to get one dose to every person on the planet, we would need 8,000 freighters, which is incredible. So the scale of this is enormous. And medical supplies have always been largely transported by air, because of the high value nature and because of the need for special handling. Vaccines are going to present a big logistical challenge because they have to be chilled. So we call it cold chain. This means that we'll need refrigerated warehouses, refrigerated transportation on aircraft to be able to deliver these vaccines in good shape and in a way that will keep people protected.
Just going back to the numbers for the year, Conrad, because as we've spoken about briefly, many airlines are still under immense pressure at the moment. And you highlight in the report that, many airlines typically pay governments around $111 billion per year in tax revenue. Yeah. But COVID-19 required relief support from atotals around $173 billion. So do you think enough support is being provided to the sector?
It very much depends on the government. So some governments have been very responsible. Singapore, obviously, is one of those. Mm. Others like Japan, Australia. But some governments haven't done anything at all. And, of course, as a result, airlines in those countries are really on their last legs. So we desperately need government support from the countries that haven't done anything yet. And also, and unfortunately, even for the sort of governments that have given us support, because this has gone on so long, we need more support. Mm-hmm. So it's a fact that we need support across the board to keep these airlines running. And I also ought to add that it's not just the airlines, it's the value chain within aviation. So airports, air navigation services, ground handling, all of these people are in trouble and need government help.
We're speaking to Conrad Clifford Ayata's Regional Vice President for Asia Pacific. So Conrad, can you tell us, you spoke a little bit about regional pickup and what's happening in China, but which regions do you see recovering the first and why?
It's going to be, so as I said earlier, it'll be domestic markets that pick up first, because as countries bring the pandemic under control, then they stop interstate restrictions. We've seen that in places like Australia, for example. So the big domestic markets will be the first.
What does that mean for aviation hubs such as Singapore?
It's a very tough time for Singapore, because Singapore doesn't have a domestic market. Singapore is a superb international hub. Mm-hmm. And of course, international traffic is down by 95% on where it was last year. So they're down with only 5% of the activity that we had last year because of border closures across the board. We desperately need governments to introduce testing regimes and reopen their borders for travel.
How do you see aviation transforming, Conrad, following this unprecedented event? What are some of the key shifts that you're expecting? I mean, you've mentioned the pickup from next year, but how do you really see the industry changing long-term as a result of what's happened?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, Rachel. I mean, because most of the growth of the last 10 years, and we've seen extraordinary growth in Asia Pacific, in aviation, most of it was driven by LCCs with really fantastic prices. It's difficult to see if governments continue to require passengers to pay for tests and vaccines and everything else, which make travel very expensive. It's difficult to see how that model is going to work in the post-COVID world. The other thing that we've seen is that as governments, responsible governments, have stepped in and provided finance to airlines, of course, they're taking a greater interest in the running of those companies. So there's a greater degree of government involvement in aviation than ever before. And the other thing to mention is that we will see a more consolidated world, although that slightly depends how long this situation goes on for and how many airlines are allowed to effectively go out of business.
So what are some of the conversations that you're having with these low-cost carriers as a result of what's happening when you're looking to the future?
So I think everybody's hoping that things will get back to normal very quickly. Mm-hmm. And we're really hoping that the governments will share the burden, because it's a public health issue, share the burden in providing the testing and the vaccination without loading all of that into costs. And of course, at the same time, we've been asking government to reduce costs in most areas to try and re-stimulate traffic. So those are the major conversations that we're having with airlines. It's all about costs.
And speaking about re-stimulating traffic, tell us more about the travel pass and how it's going to work.
So we've been really excited about the Singapore Hong Kong travel bubble, and you know, the idea of country A, country B, in this case it's city A, city B. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a similar level of transmission, then you're really not putting anybody in danger if you start flying for general traffic, tourism, or any other reason for traffic. And of course, by implementing a testing regime, you're making it even safer. So we think that's been a really exciting development. And we're expecting that to be a possible driver for other countries to sort of try the same regime and start to get things back on the road.
Well, hopefully sooner rather than later. We've been speaking with Conrad Clifford. Conrad, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Rachel.
Thank you. You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to the full interview, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.